Is that better? Yeah. Good evening. Lovely to see you. So good to see you. Isn't it an exciting time to be a part of the church? I feel like it's just a really exciting time to be here. And it's an exciting time for worship here. We just want to honor our musicians and our band. And yeah. You know, it's like when you have a child and you're with them all the time, and it's hard to see them grow. And then at the five at the moment in our worship, I don't know if you're noticing it, but there's just an amazing growth and freedom in what God's doing here. And it's just a really exciting time to be here, I think. And and God's taking us on a real journey at the moment, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a second. But it's just an exciting time to be here, and so thanks for being with us. It's great to be here. My name's Chris. If we've not met before, it's great to see you. And I've been a part of the team at Christchurch here for 7 years in August. And so if I've not met you, hello, and do come and say hi at some point. What was that? There's a bass. Okay, that's fine. Who ran the 10K today? Well done, you did great. Yeah. Anyone run a marathon today? Oh, Nick. Hello, mate. Our good friend Nick Carter, who is also our office manager here at Christchurch, ran a full-blown marathon today. And from what I hear, did a fantastic job. Well done, mate. Really good. All right, today at church it's a good day. We're launching a new series of teaching at 5 and at the 10 as well. The 10 are talking over this next phase a little bit more about worship, and that's going to be our series in the morning. And here in the evening at the 5, we're going to be talking a bit more about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking and unpacking what it means to be led by the Spirit and to walk with the Spirit and to understand more of what the Holy Spirit's all about in our lives, and a part of this church and the way we do things. We're going to be really diving into the reality of the Holy Spirit, we hope. And that's not just in the way we teach, but it's in the way hopefully we operate and the way we continue to invite God to do what he wants to do as a part of our church. And so that's where we're going to start tonight. To do that, we're going to take a couple of weeks just to sort of set the scene a little bit. And so tonight is the first week of this sort of setting the scene. And when we were talking about it as a 5 team, what we wanted to do is we wanted to put the nature and the person of the Holy Spirit in the context of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what we're going to do tonight is just unpack a little bit of stuff around the Father. Next week, Paul's going to come and talk a bit about Jesus a bit more. And it's all about Jesus anyway, but you know what I mean. And then we're going to really start from there to start really unraveling our series on the Holy Spirit. Okay, I've got a good question for you this evening. I like a good question to start us off. I've got a good question. Can you remember that feeling when you were a kid, that frustrating feeling where you really, really wanted something, but you couldn't have it yet? You remember that feeling? It's like, yeah, right now. Yeah. Can I ask you just to have a conversation with the people around you? What was that like? So we really wanted something, but you couldn't get it. What was it like? And can you remember a time where you were actually waiting for something specific? Can you remember what that was like? What did it feel like? Okay? Do that for a few minutes, and then we'll come back. Okay, let's bring it back together. Is anyone, anyone this evening willing to own up to being a person who's not very good at waiting for stuff? Who's not very good at waiting for stuff? Who feels like they are a good waiter? You know what I mean by that? Like you're good at waiting. Yeah? Okay. For those of you that that aren't very good, are you a noisy waiter? So or are you a quiet waiter? So do you just chill, you're waiting, you know it's gonna come, or do you just make a fuss, bit of a drama thing? Any noisy waiters? Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Full disclosure this evening. I don't think I was ever really a pet guy, okay? I don't think I was ever really supposed to have pets. I never really liked, well, I liked the idea of having pets, but I never clearly should have had pets, given the apparent lack of care that I gave them when I was a child. And I really like new stuff. So I'm one of those people who just love new stuff. And so I think growing up, whatever it was, whether if it was new, Jessica's got the same thing, you've got that from me. If it was new, I really liked it. And so pets was one of those things where actually what I loved was the newness of it. I loved the new hamster or the new rabbit. But in reality, I just wasn't designed for pets. I'm just not very good at caring for pets. And I'm just not really been ever really sure about them. So in becoming a father, I knew in the background that at some point this pet thing would come back round to me, okay? And honestly, in my sort of preparation for this moment, it was always going to be a very firm but a very loving, no, sorry, we're not going to have pets because I'm not really a pet person. But then when we had kids, and when they got to the age where they started being able to talk about pets and started wanting pets, could you remember wanting pets? My very firm but loving no, we're not having pets, gradually became slightly more flexible. And it became more and more flexible, primarily because my children wouldn't stop talking about it. They got in my face about pets, particularly about hamsters. So Jessica turned 6 last December. No, 2 Decembers ago. She turned 6, and we thought this would be a good moment to start investing in pets. I thought I'd record, we recorded a little video at the time as a family, the moment in which we told Jessica that she was going to get a hamster. We do this thing every Friday, which we call Family Fridays, where we spend a few hours doing various things together. And this happened to be a Friday, it's Family Friday, and we decided to take Jess out to buy her first pet. I've got the video. Can we show it? Thank you, Lily.
Today is a special birthday edition of Family Fridays. And we are here for a very special reason, because someone is turning 6 on Sunday. Who's turning 6, Raffi? Jessica. So what we thought we'd do for Family Fridays today is take you on a surprise trip to buy a hamster.
To buy a real hamster?
A real live hamster.
For ourselves?
For you.
That's not fair.
And for Raffi to hold as well.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes! Best ever! My first guess that I actually told you was buying a pet.
I know.
Oh, right, go.
That was real. That happened in that moment. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. We got permission for that, by the way. They did. Jessica said I could show that. As a dad, I'm trying to be a good father who likes to give good gifts to his children. And that was a little moment where that was becoming real. But the reason it became real is because Jessica in particular just kept getting in my face about it. She was really persistent, really persistent. And so the title of my message to this evening is The Power of Persistence. The Power of Persistence. Lily, can I have my title slide up, please? Thank you. The Power of Persistence. My desire for this particular message as we kick off the series is that it would be simple, number one. I want this to be a simple message. But I also want it to be a reminder for many of us. I want it to be simple, but I also want it to be a reminder. And I feel like for many of us this evening, this message is going to be a bit of a reminder. So can I ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in verses 1 to 13. I'm going to read it to you. The Power of Persistence. Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.'" What a mean guy. "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Brilliant. Okay, Lily, could you just chuck my slide back up again? That'd be really helpful. Thank you. So as we approach this passage, these are our verses for this evening. As we approach this passage, I want to say right at the beginning that over the course of these 13 verses, what I feel is, I feel like Jesus is building a picture for us. He's building a picture of us that is multifaceted in its nature, because it's about prayer. It starts in prayer, which is one of our primary abilities to connect with God. It starts with prayer, but it also then moves into the nature and the character of God, and both are interwoven together to start build this picture of what connection with God is partly about. And so I want to take you through three pieces, essentially, pieces of the picture. And piece number one starts at verse number one. And it starts from a request from one of Jesus' friends. Jesus has been praying in this certain place, and we don't know where that place was, but he's been praying in this certain place, and he's just finished praying, and his friend, one of his disciples, says to him, "Can you teach us how to pray?" Which, by the way, is still an extremely good request to make of Jesus. Really good, okay? Many of us struggle in our prayer lives, and we struggle, and we battle, and we wrestle, and we go back and forth, and we can find it really hard at times to know what to do with our prayer lives. Can I encourage you, if that is you at any point, can I encourage you to make that same request of Jesus that this disciple makes here? "Jesus, can you teach me how to pray?" There have been multiple times in my life where that's happened, and there's been times where I've said, "God, I just need you. I need you to help me pray here, because I'm really struggling." That request is still a really good one, a really valid one, and I want to encourage that into your lives if you think that you would need that. So this friend asks Jesus to teach him to pray, and then Jesus says, "When you pray, say this." Okay, when you pray, say this. And then he says what we now know as what? The Lord's Prayer. So Jesus, essentially, he gives his friends a liturgy. Because he says, when you pray, say this thing. When you pray, say this. He gives him a liturgy. Now, Jesus is not anti-liturgy. Okay? A lot of people growing up in churches now, because we do less of it, I guess, liturgy, liturgical stuff, so words that are spoken time and time again, over and over again, we do less of that than maybe we used to. Many of us think that Jesus is just not very into liturgy. Well, actually, here we see that he gives his disciples a liturgy. Words that they can go to God with, to pray with, time and time again. Father, hallowed be your name. You know the rest. He gives them a liturgy. The key point in piece number one is, though, that Jesus, it's not Jesus, just his starting point, and it's certainly not his ending point when it comes to prayer and connection with God. So he gives them this liturgy, the Lord's Prayer, but then he keeps speaking. Some of us get stuck in prayer life or liturgical life or whatever because we make it our start and our end. It becomes the only thing that we do. And some of us have our own ways of praying, which actually can become our own liturgies. I remember growing up when I first became a Christian, I started praying. I would say the same prayer every single night for years before I went to sleep. It'd just be exactly the same. Same words, probably exactly the same time. I would just do it over and over and over and over and over again. It would just be what I did. It was my own liturgy. But I kind of got stuck there. And you see, for Jesus here, what's really interesting, piece number one, is that he gives them liturgy. He gives them something to say over and over again. When you pray, say this thing. But he doesn't stop there. And he starts to build a bigger and deeper picture of what prayer and connection with God is really all about. And so he moves on, piece number two. The second piece, found in verses 5 to 10, he starts to tell them a little story. Really cool little story about three friends. I don't think they're all friends, but he calls them friends. And at this point is where we see Jesus begin to unpack the power of persistence. The power of persistence. Now, I want to just break things up a little bit. I would really love three volunteers, please. Yeah, Sarah, great. You're not going to have to do very much. You might have to do a little bit of acting, but nothing. Not really. That's two. Just one more. Yeah, Tom Buckley, it's your birthday. You can do it. It's Tom's birthday, by the way. Okay. My props are very good tonight, you can see. Friend one, friend two, and friend three. Friend one is the friend who is at the center of this story that Jesus tells. Friend number two, you're going to come, Cameron, and just stand over here. Friend number three, you're going to go to that pillar over there. Well done. So, let's tell this story in a slightly different way. So Jesus carries on in his story. He says, suppose you have a friend. Friend number one. Suppose you have a friend. Love that. Suppose you have a friend. And you go to him at midnight. So you're going to go to him. This is your friend, by the way. Over here. You're going to go to your friend. Yeah. But you're going to go to your friend at midnight. Just stand with him. You go to your friend and you say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine, friend number three, has been on a journey to come to see me. Friend number one. Hello, friends. Lovely. Friend number three has come to see friend number two. He's been on a long journey, but friend number one has got no food. Friend number one has got no food in her house. Yeah. So she knocks on friend number two's door and says, give me some bread. But friend number two is a mean friend. Yep. A mean old friend. Friend number two says, don't bother me. You don't have to say this, Cameron. The Don't bother me. The door is already locked. This house is shut down. No one coming in here. And my children and I are in bed. I can't possibly get up and give you anything. That's what friend number two says. And that's the scope of the interaction that we hear verbally. But Jesus goes on and he says this. I tell you, even though friend number two will not get up because he's mean and lazy. Not you, Cameron, the friend in the story. He will not get up because of friendship. So the relationship that friend number one and friend number two have is not strong enough for this bread to be given. Because friend number two just can't be bothered to get out of bed. Okay? So even though he won't move because of friendship, yet because of friend number one's shameless audacity, you don't have to write that, that's fine. Another translation says, because of the shameless persistence. Another translation talks about the fact, basically, friend number one just keeps banging on the door, making a racket, waking up the neighbors. It gets a little bit embarrassing, essentially. Because of the shameless persistence of friend number one, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. That's a good thing. And friend number three gets some bread, which is really good. Thank you, friends. You can put your things down. You did. Yeah, that's fine. I tell you what, you can keep if you want to keep it. Still want to keep it. Yeah, it's a birthday present for Tom. There we go. Because of friend number one's shameless persistence, friend number two will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So what's Jesus talking about here? It would be really easy to focus, or for Jesus to focus on, like, the fact that he says, because the friendship's not really strong enough here to make it work, he could really go into that, but he doesn't go into that. What he goes on to next is really to unpack this persistence thing, which is where we get verse number 9 and 10. The Amplified Translation says it this way, verses 9 and 10. This is after Jesus has told the story. He says, so I say to you, disciples, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be open. This translation really captures the essence of the original language. It's easy to read it and go, it's like a one-time thing, like a one-hit wonder. You ask, you receive. You seek, you find. You knock, the door gets opened. It's not the way it's actually written. It's in every case, it's to ask and to keep on asking, to seek and to keep on seeking, to knock and to keep on knocking. It's about the power of persistence. It's the power of persistence. See, what Jesus is deepening as he opens up piece number two is he's deepening this idea of the persistent and the passionate heart in a believer. The importance and the significance of us as believers, as disciples of Jesus, having persistent and passionate hearts. So then he moves on into piece number three. And the final piece of Jesus' picture that he's painting here about connection with God in prayer and the nature and the character of God is really an important one. And it's particularly important in the light of what we've just talked about, because in this final piece, what Jesus begins to illuminate is something very significant about the nature and the character of God, which is going to be important in our persistence and our passion. He's given them this liturgy to speak, but he said he's carried on, so he's saying this is not the end of it now. He's opened up the reality of persistence with them. Ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. But in order for us to be able to do this, in order for us to cultivate persistence and passion, he finishes this picture by opening up the reality of the Father. Because if we're going to be persistent, passionate disciples, we need to know who we're being persistent and passionate with. You really have to understand that. Because the reality for many of us is that we stop asking. We stop seeking and we stop knocking. And a lot of that has to do with the perspective of the Father that we've just got slightly skewed in our brains. Because we sometimes feel like God is not the good Father that we think he might be. He's actually out there trying to trick us. And so we keep asking and seeking and finding, and actually we don't get anything back. And so we just, over time, stop, become disillusioned. And our relationship with him becomes disconnected and disjointed, and it's very difficult. And so this is why this third piece is so important. Because as Jesus deepens and just keeps painting this picture, he finishes by talking about the reality of a good Father. And he says to the fathers that are there, fathers, if your son, he puts it into their world. Dads, if your boy asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, that's so harsh, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Persistence can be really hard because it implies a sense of waiting, which is where we started right at the beginning. It implies a sense of waiting. Because to keep persisting for something implies that you maybe haven't yet got the thing that you asked for in the first place. So when my kids start asking for pets, and it's a loving but firm no, that becomes more and more flexible. As it becomes that, the reality of who I am as Father has to shift. But it implies a waiting because they haven't got what they want yet. Persistence can be hard because it implies waiting. And sometimes there is wisdom in the waiting. Sometimes there is wisdom in the waiting. You see, as a dad, not every request I get from my kids is a good one. Not everything they ask me for is something that is good for me to give them. Not everything that they request from me is also something that I can or should give them straight away. Persistence can be hard because it implies a waiting. I mean, how long did Jesus' friends wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in the upper room? How long was it? Do you know? I think it was about 7 weeks. 50 days. I think that's right. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's about 50 days. 50 days. So Jesus dies, comes back to life, meets with his friends and disciples. He shows himself to them, and then he says, okay, before I go, I'm going to leave you my Holy Spirit, but you need to go to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit to arrive. And so they go and they wait. But they wait 7 weeks, like 7 weeks. 50 days. Sometimes there's wisdom in the waiting. Because God, in his wisdom, sent his disciples, his people, to Jerusalem to wait. Sometimes there's wisdom in waiting. But our culture is not very good at valuing wisdom in waiting, or indeed power in persistence. These two things, we're not in a culture that really values these things very well. Like, you know, if my Amazon Prime package, if I'm up on there at 5 p.m. and I look at the thing I want and I'm like, what, it can't come tomorrow? I'm like, mad. We don't do that very well. We're like, it needs to be now. It has to be. Sometimes there's wisdom in the waiting. But how persistent are we before God during the waiting? So are you a quiet waiter or are you a loud waiter? Because my sense is that I feel like in this season, God is asking us to wait a bit more loudly. To ask and to keep on asking. To seek and to keep on seeking and to knock and to keep on knocking. Because with the knowledge of a good father who loves to give good gifts and the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit, that's the greatest gift that God could give us, his Holy Spirit, it comes to those who, what does it say? Who ask. That's what it ends with. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him and keep on asking him and keep on asking him? One of the reasons that I'm going to end with this, one of the reasons I feel like persistence is important, because it's a really good barometer of our passion sometimes. Persistence is really important because I think it's a good barometer of our passion. As in how, like, if you really care about something and you love something and you're really passionate about it, how long are you going to persist with it? How long are you going to keep asking, seeking, knocking? Honestly, I think for me, the last few weeks, I've been actually really struggling with my passion in my relationship with God. I've been, just one of those times. I've been finding it really hard. And it's funny, like, coming into this message and speaking about this, and I'm like, it's like for me, it's like, how much am I asking, seeking, and knocking before God? How much is my passion alive? Because passion is incredibly important in any relationship. And it's really important in our relationship with God. Your passion for God is important. It's really important. It's hard to persist without passion. It's really hard to keep coming back and asking and seeking and knocking when the passion's waning. It's difficult, it's tricky, it's challenging, it doesn't sustain very well. And I think some of us here have got into a place in our relationship with God where the passion's waning and the persistence has stopped. And a whole bunch of us have just stopped asking. And so when it comes to the reality of the Holy Spirit, and hey, we need the Holy Spirit. Like, I need the Holy Spirit. This church needs the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us needs the Holy Spirit to be the people that God has made us to be in its full and entire state. Like, we need the Holy Spirit. And some of us have just stopped asking. We just stopped asking. And so, that's where I want to land it this evening. There's power in persistence. There's real power in it. And Jesus clearly values persistence. Clearly values persistence. So I put that before you at the start of this series. How much are we asking, seeking, and knocking, and continuing to do so? How much of us have stopped because we got disappointed along the way, and we've got a slightly skewed perspective of a father, of the Father who is actually better than we think he is? And how many of us don't even spend any time or thought asking for the Holy Spirit in our lives? Jesus says, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's where we're going to land. So as we now pray together, that's where we're going to go. Okay? Some of us are going to start to ask again, I hope. Worship team, do you want to jump up? Thank you. That'd be great. The rest of us, could I ask us to stand where we are? That would be really helpful. Can I say as well, some of you are waiting. You've been waiting a long time for whatever. You're still waiting. I don't know how long you're going to need to wait for. I don't know. No idea at all. But can I just say again, sometimes there's wisdom in the waiting. Sometimes there's wisdom in the waiting. But there's also power in your persistence. So what I feel like I want to do just to start with is I want to pray for us corporately to start with, and then we'll just maybe journey into some more specific ministry together after that. Okay? And you can just now at this point just do whatever you need to do to posture yourself before God and just make connection with him now. Like, just do whatever you need to do. If you need to move, move. Just do whatever you need to do. Father, would you set in the hearts of this community an intentional persistence? Would you set right in the hearts of this community a passion and a desire to get before you time and time again, and to ask and to keep on asking and to seek and to keep on seeking and to knock and to keep on knocking? Would you set in our hearts a deep passion and persistence to get before you? Thank you that you are a good father who loves to give good gifts to your children. Thank you that you are good. And thank you that you have the greatest gift for us in your Holy Spirit. And we ask that in this next season we would spend time together and on our own getting before you and asking for your Holy Spirit. We ask for your Holy Spirit in this season. Stir us up, Father. Stir us up. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some specific things that would be really good for us to do and to allow God to minister to us.